It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
You know what annoys me? Again, from my experience of this, if you're Joel Embiid, shut the F up.
Yeah.
Like, don't insult me as the customer. Because, and now I'm, see, this sucks. Now I got to defend a Philly fan. I'm going to do it, though, because when you're a customer and you spend a lot of money for crap, when you spend a lot of money to watch garbage, it's okay to make yours. It's okay to make a business decision. Yeah. Okay? So what some in Philadelphia did on Sunday is they made a business decision. They made a business decision because your little process that you've made these fans sit through for 6 years has gone freaking nowhere. And so when Vinny from Staten Island says, hey, I'll give you $600 a ticket, what are you going to do? You're going to say, nah, let me watch Joel Embiid choke again in the postseason at home, or should I make mine? And that's what those fans did. So, yeah, the fans impacted this game. I don't know if they impacted it the way you describe, but maybe. There's no way to prove it. But if you're Joel Embiid, just like if you're Mikal Bridges, shut up. It's on you. Because you know what you could have done Sunday to all those Knicks fans that were in the building? You could have shut them up by winning. And instead, you know how Joel Embiid did in the fourth quarter of that game yesterday? Anybody know how he did? He took five shots. You know how many of those five shots he made?
Zero.
Zero? Yeah, interesting. So in this postseason, and this is a credit to the Knicks, and there's a lot of reasons how it got here, but number one, credit to the Knicks, Joel Embiid has taken 18 fourth quarter shots, 18 of them, right? They've played four games, so on average, he's taken about 4.5 shots per game in the fourth quarter. You know how many fourth quarter field goals Joel Embiid has made of the 18 he's taken? Let me count it on one hand. One, two, three. Three. And there are a few reasons for why that's occurred. A part of it is they're defending their ass off. The fact is, Joel saw doubles every time he looked up, and sometimes he made the right decision. And guess what? Tyrese Maxey misses an open three. Too freaking bad. The Knicks have defended their asses off. And Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter of these games, maybe because he's tired, maybe because OG Anunoby's giving him fits, maybe because Precious Achiuwa's in his ear, or maybe it's because Bob from South Jersey sold his ticket to Vinny, and it bothered Joel. Either way, Mr. Guarantee's down 3-1.
Yes.
And the city of Philadelphia, in my humble opinion, and we've seen World Series, we've seen postseason games, I've certainly gone down there for big regular season Met Philly games, I have never seen the city as embarrassing as I saw it yesterday. You met your most pathetic moment, and it's at the hands of the New York Knicks and their fans who took over your building, spit you out, and are now mocking you.
Yeah, here's what happens, though. When the fan feels defeated and it's hopeless, guess who follows very quickly after?
The players.
The players.
So it's over.
It's over.
It's over.
The Eagles winning that Super Bowl changed that city forever. They lost their sandpaper. They lost their grit.
They got satisfied.
They lost that, like, junk pail, I'm going to eat your heart out mentality.
Here's why
the
you're wrong.
The city is softer now.
I think that's just the football fan versus the basketball fan. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, so I'm going to counter with the baseball fan to why your point is wrong. All we heard about last year and the year before was the Philly fan in the postseason.
Yeah.
Loud, tough, crazy. So Tiki's probably more right about the individual team, the way we feel about the team, or maybe the fan of a sport. You can't say the entire city got soft because the Philly fan didn't.
I'm not saying they like lost their passion for the team when it matters. My point is a Knicks fan invaded that clip because there's no longer the fear of going there, getting your tire slashed, a beer thrown at you, anything.
But hold on. I think it's a lot different. I think it's a lot deeper than what we even know. We're in New York. We have no idea. But just imagine, put yourself as a Philly fan, a 76ers fan right now. Think about the nonsense, the BS that you've dealt with from, oh, we got this process that we're doing. We're going to suck forever, but trust me, it's going to come back and we're going to win something big after it. And you get Joel Embiid. He misses the first season and a half because of injury, and he's just a big man. Looks like he's a bust. He finally gets it together. You start to get to the postseason. You can't get past the babies, the kids up in Boston for year after year. You fire Doc Rivers. You bring in Nick Nurse. And it's the same stuff.
Ben Simmons, James Harden.
It's like the same thing over and over.
Yeah, it's about the team.
It's about the team. Yeah. People, I think Philadelphians are just disgusted with the team.
I agree with you.
And so
I agree with you.
Like, why are we going to support this team? They've been blowing smoke for the last 8 years.
That's why, like, look at our city. And I know we're so eclectic with all the teams we have. It's how we feel about a certain team in that moment. Mm-hmm. That's why a decade ago when Raul Ibañez hit that home run in the postseason when he pinch hit for A-Rod, I walked into that building about $25 tickets because Yankee fans were done with that team. They didn't care about that team. But then in 2017, they gave a huge care about that team, and it was the hottest ticket in the town. So it wasn't the Yankee fan per se. It was how they felt about that team.
Yeah. But it takes two to tango. You have the Sixer fans who feel that way about the team. It also takes Knicks fans now not fearing going to the city of Philadelphia for big games the way New Yorkers
used to fear that.
But there haven't been really that many.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to give you a hypothetical. The New York Mets are a plucky team, just based on the expectations that we had for them. No one was predicting them to win a World Series, right? The New York Mets make the postseason. Fun little team, little engine that could, forget the payroll. I'm talking about expectations. Mm-hmm. And the fans are like all pumped up, like, oh, crap, we made the playoffs. And they are set to go play in Philadelphia against the Phillies, where for the last 2 years, they've gone on deep postseason runs, a World Series, the seventh game of the NLCS, and I still think they love that team. And they sell that stadium out all the time. They're giving Trey Turner standing ovations. They love Nick Castellanos. They love everything about that team. And Met fans travel well. You know that.
Of course.
Are we taking over Citizens Bank Park?
You're not taking over, but I think...
There you go.
But yeah.
We're not.
I think...
We'll try, but we're not.
But, Ev, I think more Met fans will be more prone to make that move now than they would have 10 years ago, is my point.
Well...
You no longer fear going to Philly.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become? Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I'm not a college football expert, so most of the time my reactions, and I think most of our reactions as fans, is what position did they add, and then let me learn something about each guy. So when they drafted Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky, the first thing I see about him, Tiki, is that he has a nickname. And I'm like, okay, cool. What's this guy's nickname? And his nickname is the Yak King.
I saw that.
And when I saw that, I ain't going to lie to you, I got really excited. Now, do I know if Malachi Corley is going to become a superstar or not? I have no idea. I hadn't heard of him until 2 days ago. But when you are nicknamed as the Yak King, and you're going to get to play in this offense with this quarterback, I don't know, man. I got to tell you, I'm a little pumped up about this Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky.
I mean, he feels like a running back to me, I'm just saying, because of his size, because that was my first thought. He's 5'10 and a half, 207 pounds. It feels exactly how I played. I was 5'9 and a half and 205 pounds. So he feels like a running back. So it makes sense why he's a yards after the catch player or yards after the contact player, because he's stout. He's stoutly built and compact. And, you know, he kind of fits into a role with this jet offense that now has guys that can stretch the field. And hopefully Mike Williams is a big wide receiver. He gets healthy. He can be a downfield or middle of the field target. And then you have this other guy who you just throw these underneath routes to. Mm. And he catches the ball, splits a tackle, and goes 40 or 50, right? So it feels like the Jets, you know, wanted to get different types of playmakers, but guys who could be like Breece Hall,
right?
Take it to the house on any given play. And I think they did a good job with it.
They also, and again, I'm only judging based on the positions, they also drafted not one but two running backs.
Yes.
There's Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, who's a big, strong guy. And then they went out and drafted
this. He's like 240.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Right.
He could be our Brandon Jacobs. And then they go out and they draft Isaiah Davis. And considering they already have Izzy Abanaconda, mm-hmm. and they've got Breece Hall, I was a little surprised they went double running back.
Yeah, well, I think they had so many. How many compensatory picks did they have, Sean? At least two?
I think it was two.
So
they ended up using seven picks in this draft. They added a third round pick next year, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because why the hell not? You never know right. when that's going to be needed. And then they were trading back. They traded up. They ended up trading up to take Travis, which we'll get to in a second, about his situation.
Yeah, I got lost with the Jets as it was going on and on day three. I couldn't follow what was happening and some of these deals that were going on.
Remember, though, this was a big focus here. The Jets did this and a lot of teams did this. Them taking two running backs at first glance would make people panic. These teams went back to the realm of fast guys that can return kicks.
Yes.
Because
yes.
now you're going to have two guys deep, not one, because the kick return is right. back.
I forgot about
and
that.
And by the way, that's what Tyrone Tracy will do for the Giants. For the Giants.
So there was more of an emphasis on day three for guys. Even if you were over putting running backs, you might carry five running backs on a team because of how important the kick return
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I sort of forget how much of an impact the new kick return rules are going to actually have.
I mean, special teams are a big part of this new NFL. I mean, that new NFL with how the kickoff return has essentially become a scrimmage play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. It's all everybody spread out. You're only a little bit away from where the returner is catching the football. It's like a scrimmage play. What was I watching? I was watching the UFL. What's XFL or UFL?
It's the same thing now.
It's the UFL, but right. the XFL combined.
Right. So it was the UFL yes. game, and they had it's the same kickoff rule.
Yeah.
Right. These kickoff returns are they're exciting.
Oh, they're very much
right because
so, yeah.
it's a guy with skill position player in space with the defense like spread out. So you never know what can happen, and it's going to come down to some of these smart special teams coordinators. John Fossil, son of my late head coach Jim Fossil, is probably one of them, where they're going to start designing run plays.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the return. So you got to get skill position players, and I think Sean is right. That's exactly why you draft guys like that. And if you get a big running back like Braylon Allen, who you're talking about, right, he can be back there as well, but also maybe as a blocker.
Right.
Right. So it's different. It's different types of players that you have to put on your team given the new rules.
The other thing the Jets did, and I had said for weeks and weeks, ignore quarterback. You have a backup quarterback, maybe you add a veteran third stringer, but Aaron Rodgers is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy for the foreseeable future. I don't want to have to think about the future. But when I saw they drafted Jordan Travis, who I'd heard of, so I was like, oh, wow, I remember him, FSU, broke his leg. Yeah, that sucked. I was intrigued by the idea that he is going to basically learn this year at the knee of Aaron Rodgers, at the knee of Tyrod Taylor. And so as a fifth-round pick, as a guy who can just learn, recover from the broken leg, okay, I don't hate it. Now, how good can Jordan Travis be in a couple of years? Like, is it crazy to think that's the guy who's replacing Aaron Rodgers after Aaron goes off into the sunset delivering the New York Jets multiple Super Bowls? Is that crazy? Forget the Super Bowl part. Put that one out of your mind. Can Jordan Travis be something for us in a couple of years?
He actually might be. He's the classic Joe. Maybe we got something here.
You buy this, right?
Look, you know me, King Jet hater on the show. I think the Jets nailed this draft, and I think Jordan Travis was the icing on the cake because it's the perfect dart to throw and the perfect absolutely no pressure to learn behind Aaron Rodgers and be there.
Fifth-round pick, let him learn, not just from Aaron but from Tyrod as well.
Well, the only issue is that he's older, so he's 24 years old.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's not even probably in the mix for playing time this year.
No, plus he's recovering from this injury. And right. I think what Joe Douglas said is he was very evasive in terms of, hey, when is he going to be ready? And it almost sounded like maybe training camp. Maybe. Yeah. So who really knows about his recovery?
It's like a redshirt year he's going to have this year.
100%.
Most likely. And that's not a bad thing for a young quarterback. He's undersized, only 200 pounds, 6'1 or so. So, you don't know what his upside is, but you also don't know. You know that he's a really good athlete, and he did some pretty amazing things for Florida State when he was healthy. And he gets to sit and learn from two veterans who are really, first of all, Tyrod Taylor is an unbelievable locker room guy.
Yep.
So he'll be great with him. And then Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. So it's a perfect situation for him because he wasn't going to play anyways right away.
Right. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool.